Oh, man. I'm going to go put this down. Sorry. Do I have time?
Yeah. Yeah, I think. Hello, hello. Oh, I just lost one.
Well, good morning, Freedom Community Church. Good morning. We're glad to see you all here this morning with us. We're glad to have a time of fellowship and worshiping the Lord. So we're thrilled that you're here with us today and grateful that we have a place to do that. Let's start with a word of prayer and then we'll dive right into worship. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for today. Thank you for bringing us all here together safely. Thank you for bringing us all with a unity of purpose, and that's to worship you. We thank you, God. We pray for your blessing on this time and pray that as we worship you, Lord, that our songs would not just be songs, that they would be so much more than that. They would be an offering of our hearts to you, Lord, and that you would be pleased with your church, pleased with your kids, God. And so we lift up this time to you. We pray for your blessing on it, and just pray all these things in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus. And we pray all these in his name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you feel so led to stand, feel free to do so, but we're going to dive right into a time of worship. The power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings, who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder, who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory. Who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, 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 oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Thank you, Jesus, for your amazing grace. Thank you that we can sing about it, that we can experience it, that we can enjoy it, Lord. That grace that's so undeserved. And Lord, we want to sing about it. We want to praise you for your grace and for your goodness. We love you, Jesus, and we just look forward to this time that we'll have together, worshiping and praising you and hearing from you. We pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, Freedom family. We're so glad you're here today, and whether you're here in person or online. And I just have a few announcements today. Rob and Jeannie were able to get away and go visit their family, and so we're really grateful that they have some time to restore and just enjoy their family. There's just a few announcements today. The first one is Men's Bible Study. Most of you know about it. It's every Saturday at 8 o'clock, and so please come join the guys. They're digging into the Word, and I'm sure you will enjoy it. And for the women, we have a few different things. Marie posts online on Facebook, I believe it's Monday, and then in person, if you would like to come, we have some questions that we go over and gather on Thursday mornings at 10 o'clock, and you can get the questions out at the information table. Also, on Saturday, July 19th, we are having a women's tea party. And so you can get more information on that also out there. There's some flyers, and that's June 19th. We always have a good time when we get together. There is also a home Bible study in Ridgefield, and it's every Sunday. And the potluck starts at 5:30, and then the study will start at 6. So if you have any questions, once again, just ask at the information table or talk to Lisa and Dennis. Also in children's ministry, we're in need of some help in the back, whether it's the babies or the toddlers or the middle school and elementary. So please pray about that, because it would be wonderful to have others join us so that we can cover the kids every week. So you can see or talk to Jean Orr about that. Also, thank you for those who went to the fire response yesterday. We're really grateful to have the opportunity to serve down there. So we serve every couple Saturdays, and it's been amazing to be a part of that. So please consider signing up. It's in a couple weeks or so, and we'll have more information about that in the bulletin. And then, so all this information, you can either email us at info@freedomcommunity.church or just ask at the information table. Today we have a guest speaker, and his name is Dennis Fuquay, and he is the Executive Director of International Renewal Ministries, and he's also the Executive Director of Clark County Prayer Connect. So he will be doing our prayer today, and then he'll speak later. Thank you.
Well, good morning to you. Thank you for that introduction. I appreciate that. Here's a question. We're going to pray in just a minute, but I have a question for you. How many of you know the name Peter Cook? Peter Cook. Peter Cook was an actor, and Peter Cook had probably the most famous one word in all of movies. I'm going to say the word, and you'll know exactly who Peter Cook, many of you will know exactly who Peter Cook is. Marriage. Huh? Do you know who Peter Cook is? He was the clergy in the movie The Princess Bride, okay? Well, sometimes when I'm introduced, I feel like Peter Cook, okay? Because it seems like the first thing I'm supposed to say is, Pueo. Pueo is what brings us here today. It is a privilege to be the director of two ministries that are pretty strong in the area of prayer, and so Pastor Rob asked me to preach, he just expects me to say something about prayer. If you put a quarter in me, you're going to get prayer somehow, okay? So I'll preach on that in just a little bit, but now let's do that. Let's do it. Okay, let's do some show and tell. Well, let's pray. And I appreciate the fact that that you guys take prayer seriously here. I feel like I'm amongst friends. And I appreciate the fact that every week, Pastor Rob prays for these four areas. And you're familiar with them. First of all, prays for the leadership of our country, our state, our country, etc. By the way, if you would like to, on a regular basis, on Tuesday nights, pray with Representative Vicky Kraft from the 17th District and pray for our county, our state, and our nation. There's a group of us that do that at the Mattson Building, which is just down 117th a bit, across directly across from Cornerstone Church and or Cornerstone School and Faith Center Church at the Mattson Building there. And we do that every Tuesday night at 6:30. You're welcome to join us. So praying for our leaders, praying for the peace of Jerusalem, praying for the persecuted church, and then this morning we'll also take another stab at praying for another one as well. So pray with me, please. And I'll pray for a bit and then pause, and that's your opportunity to go far beyond where I've gone in prayer. Father, we're just so grateful that we have the privilege this morning to come to you. I'm thinking of Hebrews chapter 4, where it says that we can come at our time of need before your throne of grace. And you give grace and mercy to us in our time of need. And Father, as we think about our county, our state, and our nation, we are in a time of need. Father, there are things that are happening on earth that are not conformed with your plan in heaven. So we call out to you, God. We ask, just like you told us to in 1 Timothy chapter 2, God, we ask that you would give the leaders of our state, our nation, our county, wisdom. God, give them grace to govern well so that the gospel can be proclaimed more and more. Specifically here in Clark County, I pray for our county chair, Eileen Quiring O'Brien. God, thank you for her faith in you. Thank you for her desire to serve you well. As a follower of Christ, I pray that you would give her grace and give her influence on the county level. Here in our state, thinking about the 17th district here of Southwest Washington, I do pray for Vicky Kraft. Again, thank you for her faith, her commitment to follow you, and her desire to be influential in Olympia. We ask that you would make her voice louder and louder. Cause her voice to have more and more influence in our state, I pray. And Lord, on a national level, we call out to you. Would you rise up godly leaders? Give godly counselors around those who are in leadership right now so that as it says, that we will live peaceful, quiet lives in all godliness so that the good news can be advanced. I want to encourage you now just to take a few moments and you pray. You pray just in your heart to the Lord. You pray for our leaders in our country. And Father, we do pray for the peace, the shalom of Jerusalem, of Israel. And Father, as we pray that, we're not just simply praying that you would protect their borders from enemies in the physical realm, but God, I pray that you would give shalom to those who are in the nation. God, I thank you for the messianic ministries, Jews for Jesus, others there that are ministering well in that country. I thank you for the Christian ministries who are ministering well there. Lord, I pray that you would give them grace to know exactly how to minister in such a way that the good news of Jesus would not only be heard, but the fragrance of the gospel would be smelled, as it were, and it would attract more and more people into a relationship with you. God, give them a sense of wholeness, a sense of security, a sense of fullness. God, I specifically pray for the congregation King of Kings in Jerusalem. having such a good impact there. Encourage the staff, encourage the leadership there. Rise up more houses of prayer in Jerusalem to be praying 24/7 for the city of Jerusalem and the nation of Israel. God, also, I pray for the pro-life group there that is housed in the King of Kings building. God, thank you for the lives that they save on a daily basis. Continue to give them favor, I pray, in Jesus' name. You pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Go ahead and wrap that up. And now let's pray for the persecuted church. Father, we are grateful that we have the freedom to come and gather in a public setting and full on express our praise and adoration of you without concern of someone busting into this meeting with machine guns to break it up. And Father, right now, or earlier this day, hours ago in China, as brave, faithful believers gathered in unknown places and huddled sometimes around just one Bible with multiple people around it, honoring you, serving you, loving you, seeking to take a stand for you. God, thank you for those little pockets of saints. I pray your encouragement upon them. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen them in the gospel. I pray that they would be firm in their faith. And as it says in 1 Peter chapter 3, I pray that they would live in such a way that when others ask a reason for the hope that's inside of them, they would be able to give a clear message that is full of hope to other people. And Lord, I think the same in Iran. I thank you for the church in Iran, that some people say it is percentage-wise the fastest growing church of any church in any nation. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in Iran. But I pray that you would strengthen the believers there. Strengthen the Coptic believers in Egypt, I pray. Strengthen the Protestants in Italy, I pray. Those different groups of people who are sometimes experiencing physical persecution far beyond anything that we've experienced. I pray for your strength. I pray for your grace upon them in Jesus' name. Now it's your turn. I'd like to pray for the church here in Clark County. Father, in some ways, those people that I just prayed for have far more vibrant walk with you than many of us here in this place, simply because that persecution has strengthened their faith. God, I want to ask that for believers here in Clark County, would you move more and more of us off of the fence? I pray that the realm of lukewarm would become less and less. We would become not cold, but we would become hot in you. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that as the word is preached across our county today, I pray that it would be preached with conviction. I pray that it would be heard by those with hearts who have receptive, their hearts are receptive soil to the seed of the good news. Let change take place this day as the message, as the gospel, as the good news of Jesus is proclaimed. I pray that today would be the birthday, the second birthday of many people throughout our county. And I pray that it would also be a day in which significant growth takes place. God, I pray that where there are barriers between followers of Christ, you would diminish those barriers, decrease the competition, and increase the cooperation of your church here in Clark County. I pray in Jesus' name. Father, I'm grateful that you don't get tired of us coming and making the same requests over and over, praying the same topics over and over again. You told us in Luke 18, verse 1, to always pray and never give up. God, we're going to continue to pray for these things as long as you tell us to pray for these things, and we're not going to give up. God, I pray that we would not let our prayer life be determined by what we see around us in our culture, but rather what we see in your word. Conform our prayer life to your word rather than what we view around us, I pray. So, God, we offer these prayers to you with a sense that you have heard and you will answer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's go back into a time of worship and praise our King.
Shout it, go on and scream it from the mountains. Go on and tell it to the masses that He is God. Shout it. Go on and scream it from the mountains. Go on and tell it to the masses that He is God. Shout it. Go on and scream it from the mountains. Go on and tell it to the masses that He is God. Shout it. Go on and scream it from the mountains. Go on and tell it to the masses. Shout it. Go on and scream it from the mountains. Go on and tell it to the masses that He is God. To the cross I look, to the cross I cling, of its suffering I do drink, of its work I do sing. For on it my Savior both bruised and crushed, show that God is love and God is just. At the cross You beckon me, You draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love. I'm sweetly broken, wholly surrendered. What a priceless gift, undeserved life have I been given through Christ crucified. You've called me out of death, You've called me into life, and I was under Your wrath. Through the cross I'm reconciled. At the cross You beckon me, You draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love. I'm sweetly broken, wholly surrendered. At the cross You beckon me, You draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love. I'm sweetly broken, wholly surrendered. In all the cross I must confess. How wondrous your redeeming love, and how great is your faithfulness. In all the cross I must confess. How wondrous your redeeming love, and how great is your faithfulness. At the cross you beckon me, you draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love. Sweetly broken, wholly surrendered. At the cross you beckon me, you draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love. I'm sweetly broken, wholly surrendered. Thank you. Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is.
The name of Jesus Christ, my King.
What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is.
The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Amen. Yes, thank you, Jesus. What a beautiful name. What a powerful name. What a wonderful name is the name of Jesus. And Lord, we're grateful that your name is the only name by which man can be saved. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you that you have no rival or equal. To you, Jesus, belong all the glory, all the power and honor forever and ever. Amen.
Well, thank you for leading us in worship. And oh, it's true. What a beautiful name. What a wonderful name. What a powerful name. It's a privilege to be in relationship with God Most High. Amen? As I mentioned earlier, it seems like whenever anybody asks me to pray, they expect me to or ask me to preach, they expect me to preach somehow on prayer. And so, wouldn't it be, you know, I see myself not as an expert in prayer. I see myself as a student of prayer, just like I see myself as a student of the Word, not a master of the Word, but a student of the Word. And I'm just aware that my prayer life is not all it could be. And you would agree with me. My prayer life is not what it, no. You would say, my prayer life is not what it needs to be either. And so there's a lot of prayer guilt floating around, right? Well, I have no need, and it's not my intention at all to contribute, and I don't think I will contribute to the prayer guilt that we carry around, all right? But I do want to offer some things to you. Well, to help us pray more in line with how God wants us to pray. You see, prayer is not about trying to convince an unwilling God to do what I think he should do. That's not what prayer is. And nor is it informing an uninformed God about what's going on down here in his world so that he can take care of it. That's not what it is at all. I want to offer to you the thought that the best one-word description of everything prayer, theology of prayer, practice of prayer, is just simply the word alignment. Alignment. I'm not trying to change God's will. I'm trying to change my heart. I'm trying to change what's going on in me so that his will can flow through me and impact the things around me. Well, wouldn't it be great if God was more clear about this thing of prayer? Wouldn't it be wonderful if God came down out of heaven and just said, here's how I want you to pray? Wouldn't it be great if God would come and say something along the lines of, when you pray, pray like this? Now you're catching it, right? He did it. He did that. The God of the universe, the inventor of prayer, came to earth, and among other things, I mean, he accomplished all kinds of other things besides this, but among other things, he said, here, in fact, I think if you read the original Greek, he said, right before this, he said, read my lips. I think that's in there somewhere, okay? He said, when you pray, here's how I want you to pray. Say this. In fact, he didn't just say that once. He said it twice. Now, you know that I'm talking about the Lord's Prayer, right? Okay? What we call the Lord's Prayer. Some people call it the Disciples' Prayer. I'm not concerned at all about what we call it. Some people have it as a nice plaque on their kitchen wall. And Jesus probably likes that. But that's not what he had in mind at all. When he said these words, he didn't have in mind that it would end up on a plaque. He had in mind that it would end up in our hearts, that we would actually do what he told us to do. So it's recorded in Matthew chapter 6, if you have Bibles. I want to encourage you to turn there. Now, show of hands. Actually, I want you a show of hands. How many of you have the words of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6 memorized? Our Father, we are in heaven. How many of you? Okay. You guys have a leg up on this, okay? The rest of you, grab a Bible, because I'm going to actually be using, I'll be talking about words from the Word, okay? So, he said it in two different places. Matthew chapter 6 is part of what we call the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And Jesus came and he said, okay, guys, when you pray, pray like this. Or when you give, give like this. When you pray, pray like this. And when you fast, fast like this. It's in a series of instructions that Jesus initiated about how his disciples are to express spiritual disciplines. Months later, probably almost 2 years later, he's with his group of guys. This is in Luke chapter 11. The first one, the Sermon on the Mount, was up near Galilee. The second one, Luke 11, was down by Jerusalem. That's about 100 miles apart from one another. On two different mountains, Mount of Beatitudes and the Mount of Olives. And in Luke 11, Jesus was checking up with his disciples. He said, the disciples are watching him pray, and the disciples said, would you teach us how to pray? Like John taught his disciples how to pray. You teach us how to pray. And I wish I could watch the video of this. I think Jesus got this little wry smile on his face. I think it was sort of a little grin. Yeah, like, I can do that. And he starts giving them instructions, and his disciples are pulling out their papyri to take notes on what he's saying. And Jesus says, when you pray, pray our Father in heaven, let your name be holy, let your kingdom come. And about that time, I think Peter nudges Nathanael and says, gee, this sounds familiar. Haven't we heard this somewhere before? Because a couple years earlier, he initiated and he said, this is how I want you to pray. And then later on, when he's asked, he gives them the same answer as what he gave them initially. He didn't change his mind. Here's my conclusion. If he says it once, he probably means it. If he says it twice, he still probably means it. He wants us to take this seriously. I want to offer to you this morning a fresh perspective on some very familiar words. These words are perhaps the most often quoted words of all of the scriptures. And here I'm going to come and tell you something new. Well, I want to expose the Lord's Prayer to you, and I want to expose you to the Lord's Prayer in what I think can be a very fresh way. What I'm going to share with you this morning, I put in a book called Living Prayer, The Lord's Prayer Alive in You. And copies of this book will be available. Marilyn is down here, my bride. Wave to us, please, right there. Okay, she'll be back at that table, and you can purchase this. We just sell books for $10 a piece. That's sort of a deal, and so a special deal. If you buy two of them, it's just $20. It just works out like that. And then there's another book that I've written that I brought this morning as well, called Experiencing Life and Power Through Biblical Meditation. Now, the reason why I brought this book this morning is because the reason why I wrote this book about the Lord's Prayer is because I did this book. I meditated on the Lord's Prayer for years and years and years, and then ended up writing. So, though this book is smaller, this book is probably, these are the most important words that I've ever written. If you can move from not reading the Bible to reading the Bible, if you can move from reading the Bible to studying the Bible, you've done well. If you can move from not reading the Bible to reading the Bible to studying the Bible to memorizing the Bible, you've done quite well, but you haven't done good enough. The most impactful way that we can interact with Scripture is not reading it. It's not studying it. It's not even memorizing it. It's meditating on it. Meditating on Scripture allows the Spirit of God to write the Word of God on the heart of the people of God. I encourage you to meditate on Scripture. So everything I'm going to share about the Lord's Prayer really just simply comes out of meditating on it. And I would encourage you to meditate on that. Father, I want to ask in Jesus' name, as we look at this prayer that is well known, very well known, and as we have prayed from, I pray that you would give grace to let us see it in a fresh way. Let us hear you tell us personally, when you pray, pray like this. And give us grace to respond, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to share some things generally about the Lord's Prayer, and then I'm going to pick one line and dive into that line a little bit more. So think through the Lord's Prayer, or look at Matthew chapter 6, and you'll see that there are 7 requests in the Lord's Prayer. We're going to look at them one at a time here. The first one is the first is Our Father in Heaven, right? That's the introduction. And I'll tell you what, I have gotten hung up on every word of the Lord's Prayer, including this first one, Our Father. This is going to sound a little bit weird, but I've prayed from that one word, Our, for hours, with an H, long periods of time. When you think about that word, Our, what that includes is, it's not just my prayer, it's our prayer. Now, you can pray it as an individual, but it's our prayer. So this is our, my bride and I. This is our, my family and I. This is our, the Church of Jesus Christ and I. But it's also our go back in time. I'm praying with saints who are no longer alive. I'm entering into the prayer of Martin Luther. I'm entering into the prayer of John Calvin. I'm entering into the prayer of the saints from the past. I'm entering into the prayers of the disciples. I'm praying as they are praying. I am entering into that prayer. But not only that, we prayed earlier for the persecuted church. This prayer is the prayer that when I pray our, I'm praying with the saints in other time zones, in other languages, in other cultures. This is a common thing that Jesus has given us. And when we say our, we get to enter into a much, much larger circle than just me and mine. Our Father in heaven. Then there are seven requests. Let your name be holy. We say it, hallowed be thy name. But I've changed it and said, let your name be holy. Because we don't use the word hallowed anymore. Unless we're talking about old halls and old institutions, the hallowed halls here. But really what Jesus was saying is, pray that my Father's name would be seen as holy. If you have been at many prayer meetings where the leader of that prayer meeting has asked a question. What's the question that is asked all the time at a prayer meeting? What are your prayer requests? Right? Have you ever been in a prayer meeting where someone said, Jesus, what are your prayer requests? Frankly, I am much more excited about praying Jesus' prayer requests than your prayer requests. Don't be offended. Okay? You should have the same perspective. Now, he cares about us presenting our needs before him, but when Jesus was asked, what are your prayer requests? The first thing he said, my biggest prayer request is that my Father's name would be holy. I hope you catch that. I hope that you wear out those words in a sense. Okay? The second request is, Lord, let your kingdom come. It's not about our rule. It's about his rulership. It's about his kingdom. Third request, Lord, let your will be done. Now, there might be some grammar teachers among us. Okay? So you catch me and make sure that I'm saying this right. There's a common pronoun in these three requests. And the common pronoun comes right before a significant noun. Your name. Your kingdom. Your will. The first half of the prayer, the primary pronoun is your. Now, contrast that with the second half of the prayer. Let's take a look at the last four requests. Give us this day our daily bread. Oh, excuse me. That's my error. Okay. These three requests. Let your name be holy, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. Then there's this phrase, on earth as it is in heaven. I want to suggest that we detach that from simply the last line, the third line there, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and attach it equally to the first three phrases. Let your name be holy on earth as it is in heaven. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah, I don't know if you've noticed or not, but heaven doesn't have the problem. The problem is here on earth. Have you noticed? Okay, this is where the need is. And so what he's doing is he's asking us, here comes this word, he's asking us that as we pray, that our prayers would produce more alignment between heaven and earth. God, line things up here on earth like they are in heaven. In heaven, your name is pretty well seen as holy. Your kingdom is pretty solid in heaven. Your will is pretty much accomplished in heaven. Heaven is not the issue. Earth is the issue. So God, let it be done here like it is there. So I would encourage you to take that phrase, on earth as it is in heaven, and attach it equally to the after the first three requests. And then these four requests: give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us, as we forgive our debtors, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So what's the common pronoun of the second half? The common pronoun of the first half was your. The common pronoun of the second half is us. I remember very specifically when the Lord just pushed my nose right into this prayer. I was a young pastor. I'd been pastoring for maybe 2 or 3 years at this point on my own. And I felt like I just knew that the Lord wanted me to pray better and more. And so I got away. My mom had a motorhome, and I borrowed her motorhome when the church had some property. We didn't have a building at the time, and so I went out to the church property, and I was there for, I think it was 3 days, and I think this happened on the second day. I was just simply crying out, saying, God, help me to pray more. Help me to do this right. Help me to line up with what you have in mind. And I remember very vividly, I was going outside to walk and pray, and my right foot was on the first step of the motorhome going down. This happened a long time ago, but it's just embedded in my mind. And the Lord just gave me a download, just like that. Now, I didn't have the word download, because we didn't have downloads in the early 80s, but that's what it was. And there was this message that came, just plop, right into my heart. It was not verbal, but it was very clear. It was crystal clear. And there were three parts to it. First of all, he said, Dennis, this is a good thing that you're doing. You want to pray better? And quite frankly, I want you to pray better too. I didn't think that was a compliment. And then he said, you're not the first guy that's ever asked me this question, how to pray. My guys asked me this years ago. And I gave them an answer that I thought was a pretty good answer. Do you need a better answer than what I gave them? I don't have a better answer. This is my best shot at teaching you how to pray. So why don't you just pretend, quote unquote, that when I said when you pray like this, that I actually meant it. Why don't you do that? Just go and do it for about 50 years or so and come back and let's talk again. Well, I can tell you that it's been, over 40 years ago since that happened. About 40 years ago that happened. And I'm still going for it. This morning, I used the Lord's Prayer as a pattern for my own personal time of prayer. I haven't worn it out yet. This thing is an artesian well. It continues to bubble forth new stuff. Obviously, I've prayed some things over and over again, but oftentimes I'll pray brand new stuff as I lean into and pray from this prayer. Let me just illustrate what I mean by that. Pick a word, any word. Seems like I'm playing cards here. Just grab hold of a word. For example, the word holy. Okay, let your name be holy. If you look at that word holy, the Lord will, I'm going to use an illustration here now that I didn't have back then, the Lord can make that word holy a link, a hyperlink. So that you can click on that word holy, and he will take you to other pages of scripture, other truths about who God is. And that word holy, how many of you have ever played Mario Brothers? Both of you have. Okay, you confess, yeah. Mario Brothers, I remember when my kids were young, they played Mario Brothers, and Mario would be running along, and he'd jump up and land on a mushroom or something like that. And when he landed on that mushroom, he'd go into a whole new world in the digital realm. Okay? Well, you can run along and you can, oh my gracious, you can run along and you can jump on that word holy, and it will take you into a whole new world of what holy means. And you can pray from all kinds of things there. For example, as I've done that, I'll just sort of give you the conclusion. As I've done that, my favorite word from the word holy, the favorite meaning of the word holy, of course it means to be separate. You know, let your name be hallowed. Hallowed means holy. Holy means to be sanctified. Sanctified means to be set apart. Okay, yeah, I get all of that. But that doesn't do it for me like this word does. I think the best one-word description of holiness is distinction. Distinction. Living a distinct life. A life not that's common, not that's ordinary, but a distinct, an uncommon life. Living an uncommon life is living a holy life. God is holy not because he's really, really big or because he's really, really good. He's holy because there is nothing like him. There is nothing like him. So we're not praying that he would be holy. We're praying that his name would be holy here on earth like it is in heaven. We're praying that his reputation, his character would be seen as totally unique, totally distinct. All the other so-called gods that vie for our attention and our worship, we look at those other so-called gods and say, are you kidding me? You're trying to compete with the one true God? There's no comparison here. God is distinct. And when he calls us to be holy, he's calling us to be distinct as well. Different than. Different than when I wasn't following Christ. Different from those who don't make any claim to know or follow Christ. I get to live a holy life. I get to live a life of distinction. So when you land on that word, holy, you'll eventually get to other passages and other scriptures, and you'll understand this thing about what that really means is being different than. So that's just an illustration as to how you can pray from this. So what I'd like to do now is I would like to show you, I'm going to highlight 14 words that if you catch these 14 words from this prayer, you'll have the essence of this prayer. In fact, again, there are 7 requests, 2 words that we'll highlight from each of the requests. Let's take a look. Let's put them in blue here. Your name, your kingdom, your will. Give us, forgive us, lead us, deliver us. If you catch those 7 points, those 14 words, you will be able to pray a lot more in line with how Jesus taught us to pray. And notice that the first half, the key pronoun is your. And the second half, the key pronoun is us. When I started doing this, I remember I turned around in the motorhome, I turned around, went back in the motorhome, got on my knees, and for the first time in my life, I prayed through every word of the Lord's Prayer, seeking to mean every word of the Lord's Prayer. I'd prayed it through jillions of times. I grew up in church where they said it almost, not every week, but many weeks, oftentimes they would say it. So I knew the Lord's Prayer backwards and forwards, but I had never in my life actually prayed it and really tried to mean every word. And so I did that, and one of the first things I saw was that, to my great surprise and chagrin, there's a your half of prayer that comes before the us half of prayer. When we pray, I just thought there was an us half. I mean, what's prayer? Well, prayer is asking God to do what I think you should do. That's what we typically think. That prayer is about what I want, and this just twisted things in my brain and in my heart. And I said, wait a minute. The your half comes before the us half. What do you learn in church today? I learned that part one comes before part two. Wow, that's heavy duty stuff. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, it was heavy duty for me when I realized that when I come to God, he wants me to pray about his requests, before I pray about my requests. When I give attention, and here's what I found over the years, when I give attention to his requests, my requests, A, become less and less, B, become more and more answered. It's like Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew 6, verse 33, many of you know that by heart. But you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Well, that's what this is saying. When you seek first in prayer, God and his stuff, let your name be holy. God, I want your kingdom to come. I want your will be done. Then when we do that, then the other things, the us part, just sort of fall into place and get answered far more better-ish. It just flows. So that was one of the first things that I saw, is that there really is a your half and there really is an us half. He wants us to come and present our needs to him. But what he's most excited about is us coming to him and telling him we want his things to happen first. It's like a child coming to you. Would you rather have a child come to you and say, Dad, I want you, or Mom, I want you to, you know, would you give me a dollar? I want an ice cream cone. God, I want this. I want a toy. I want a bike. I want a BMW. I want this, and so I'm coming to you asking that you would give this to me. Would you rather have your child do that, or would you rather have your child come and say, Dad, Mom, I've been thinking about what you want, and I want to team with you. How can I team with you to accomplish what you want? That's a far better request, isn't it? I know it's a miracle. Children don't do that. I understand that. But isn't that a far more desirous request than asking, being the dad and having your son or daughter come and ask you, just give, please give me, give me, give me. Now, give me comes into line here. In fact, that's the fourth request. So if you can grab hold of those 14 words, your name, your kingdom, your will, give us, forgive us, lead us, deliver us. I hope you can get that. I hope you can grab it. Now, there's a whole bunch of other stuff that we could say about this, but here's what I want to do. I want to just grab one line and take a look at that one line. And my guess is if I went through these and said, is there one line that sort of seems like the throwaway line, the line that isn't as important as the others, probably, I know you guys are all pretty spiritual, you probably get it, but probably the fourth request would be the one that we would look at. What I want to do is I want to look at that fourth request, give us this day our daily bread. And I just want to unpack that a little bit for two reasons. First of all, there's truth here that is extremely valuable truth about prayer, about life, etc. And if you get this, then you'll have some sense that the other lines can be dived into as well, and you can glean from those lines also. So I want to take a look at this one line, give us this day our daily bread. There's three parts to it. You see the three parts here? Give us this day our daily bread. As I have prayed this, and each of these phrases has become a link, and I have clicked on that link, and the Holy Spirit has taken me to other pages and truths, I want to just simply share with you some things that I've come to as I've prayed from this line. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us our daily bread. If you walk into a grocery store and you need bread, you have three ways to get bread out of that grocery store. Number one, you can go select the bread, take it up to the cashier, rings up $18.25. Got to factor in inflation here. It rings up whatever it is, a dollar and a quarter, whatever it is. And you pay for it, and you leave. That's one way to get bread. A second way to get bread is that you go on into the grocery store and you sneakily sneak on back to the bread section, grab a loaf of bread and put it in your shirt and walk on out. You could try to steal the bread. Third way that you could get bread is you could come on into that grocery store and you could say to the grocer, who happens to be your uncle, "Uncle Bill, I don't have any bread. Would you please give me some bread?" And Uncle Bill goes and gets bread and brings it, gives it to you. When we come in prayer, we have no spiritual cash. We have no spiritual credit card. We cannot come to God and say, "God, I have this need of bread, and I have worked over here, and I have earned stuff, and so I'm going to come, and I'm going to present this to you, because I've been good over here, and now you owe me a loaf of bread." Doesn't work like that. Nope. Nor can you try to steal it. I mean, you can try to steal it. It's just not going to work. Okay? You can't come on in and say, "Oh God, look over there," and try to get out with the bread. Doesn't work. We don't have anything in us that obligates God to give us what we need. We are flat broke spiritually. And that is good news. What's the first beatitude? Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, it says, How blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The truth is, we may think that we've got some spiritual clout. We don't. We may think that because I've been really good, that God owes me. He doesn't. The only posture that's appropriate for us to come when we come to God is, "Father, here I am again. Just like I was yesterday, just like I was 10 years ago, I still have need, and I still have no way to get that need met unless you meet it." It's Isaiah 55, verses 1 and down to 2. It says, hey, come. All of you who are thirsty, come and drink. Those of you who have no money, come, buy, and eat. You know how you can buy when you don't have any money? How you can buy is you can just simply acknowledge our own spiritual poverty. Anything that we have inside of us that is valuable was given to us by Jesus Christ himself. Do people in this place ever say amen? Do they? Okay, good. Because I was just wondering, because that was a great place to do it, right there. Okay? Now, we might practice this, okay? Anything that we have inside of us that is valuable did not originate with us. It originated from God because he gave it to us because we acknowledged that we had nothing and he gave it to us. I'm glad you're trainable. Okay. No, seriously, I hope you catch that. That is so significant. The starting point of salvation is recognizing that we can't save ourselves. The starting point of all other points of spiritual growth is recognizing that we cannot do that on our own. It is not our righteousness. It is his righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he died for all. that those who live, I'm sorry, I got the wrong, that's verse 15. And 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, but he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The good news of the gospel, the good news of Jesus, starts out with our bad news that we have great need. And we can't meet that need in and of ourselves. But then it goes on from there, and there is one who has the need, who can meet the need and wants to meet the need. Saints, when you pray, it's a great posture to come and just simply say, here I am, God. I have tremendous need. You have tremendous supply. Would you please give me that which I need for this day? And then watch his face. Watch the expression on his face. He'll grin and he'll say, yes, I will. Yes, I will. Give us. Simple little phrase, very significant phrase. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. The phrase this day, or the word today, I have found over the years, that is the word that I pray more than any other word as I'm praying from the Lord's Prayer. This phrase, this day, takes all of the Lord's Prayer and it moves it out of the realm of appreciation, that's a mighty fine prayer there, to application. I need this right now. I'm doing this right now. It just zooms in to right here, right now. I pray this over and over again. And this phrase, this day, tells us how often we should be praying in this manner. I really genuinely believe that Jesus, when he gave this direction, he actually had in mind, I don't know how I can say it more plainly, he actually had in mind that we would use this prayer as a pattern for our prayer on a daily basis. Give us this day our daily bread. I don't know how he could make it more clear. Well, okay, I'll grant you this. Maybe it's not every day. It's just every day you might like to eat. If today is a day that you might like to eat, if today is a day that you'd enjoy bread, then today's a great day to pray this prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. A friend of mine says, you know, the trouble with this Christian life is it's so daily. Yesterday is just memory. Tomorrow is just simply anticipation. Today is the only day you got. Okay? So give us this day. God, right now, today, and this line today, this day, also means that it's not just this line that we should pray every day. It's not just, Father, give me this day my daily bread, or give us this day our daily bread, amen, thank you very much, and go on. No, no, no. This phrase, this day, today, tells us that it is really, really right that we pray this entire prayer on a daily basis. That we start out saying, Father, today, I want your name to be holy, to be seen as holy. Your reputation, your character. God, let who you are be seen as different, as distinct because of my life today. Oftentimes, and I'm going to divert or go back here, these first three, your name, your kingdom, your will. Oftentimes, I will pray, Father, today, your name, not my name. That's a good way to pray. Father, your kingdom, not my kingdom. Your will, not my will. When I say that, your will, not my will, do you remember how when Jesus said that? At the most intense time of his entire life, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was praying and he said, oh, Father, If there's any other way that we can accomplish this salvation besides me going to the cross, let's go a different route. Matthew 26. But then he said these words that make all the difference in the world. Father, I want my will to be done here. Nevertheless, what a great word to pray in prayer. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. So in the same way, we can say, nevertheless, not my name, not my kingdom, not my will. That's good praying stuff. That's good prayer stuff. Give us this day, directs us to pray this entire prayer on a daily basis, not in any kind of a checklist way, not in a legalistic way that says, oh, yeah, I did it today, how about you? No, that's not it at all. But rather, it's an invitation. This prayer is an invitation to come and to enter into the things that God cares about on a regular basis. This day reminds me of what has become some of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. If you can quote me by memory this verse, I will give you each one of these two books as a prize. You'll have to say it, but it's Leviticus 6, 12, and 13. Just Leviticus 6, 12 will be fine. Who can stand and quote Leviticus chapter 6, verse 12? Yeah, my books are safe, aren't they? Okay. Here's what it says. The fire on the altar must never go out. It's instructions to the priest about the tabernacle. The fire on the altar must never go out. Each morning, the priest is to gather firewood and arrange the fire on the altar for a perpetual fellowship offering. Verse 13 says, the fire must burn continuously. It must never go out. How many of you, I want to see a hand, raise of hands. How many of you are New Testament priests? New Testament priests? I'll wait. Scripture says that you are, if you're a follower of Christ, you are a priest. Okay, that's what it says. I'm going to ask again. How many of you are priests? Raise your hand. Okay, yes, you are. Okay, you're all priests. So this verse applies to you and me. The first responsibility of a priest, Old Testament or New Testament, is to check the condition of the fire on the altar of your heart. When you wake up, God, how am I doing with you? Gather some firewood. Gather truth of who God is. Gather verses that remind you of who you are in Him. And arrange that wood in such a way that it will burn on the fire of the altar of your heart so that your life can be a sweet aroma to the Father. That your life would be a fellowship offering. When I grow up, I want to be a fellowship offering. That should be our desire. Each day, I want my life to be a sweet aroma to the Father. Each day, give us this day. Every morning, the priest needs to do this. I encourage you to gather firewood regularly. Check the condition of the fire on the altar of your heart. Make sure it's burning brightly. Give us this day our daily bread. Five things I want to share about our daily bread. I don't know if you've been taking notes on this or not before, but I'll be relatively brief here. Five things regarding our daily bread and this and what the daily bread can refer to. First and most obvious, it refers to physical need. Give, Father, please give me that which I need today. Give me the food, give me the clothing, give me the protection, give me the gas, give me the insurance, etc. Give me that which I need for this day. Physical need. The second thing is that it can refer to is our non-physical, non-material needs. There's stuff that's non-material that is far more significant than the material stuff. How about grace? I'm sorry. How about grace? I need grace in my life daily. God, today would you give me that which I need? Give me your grace so that I can interact with other people in a way that doesn't offend them. God, give me grace today so that I can accomplish all that you've called me to do. How about love? God, give me love today. Not simply for the lovable. You finish it. Yeah, those two. The unlovable. God, give me eyes to see people the way you see people so that I can represent you well here on earth today. How about wisdom? I know you're a bunch of wise guys. You don't need wisdom. I need wisdom on a regular, daily, moment-by-moment, experience-by-experience basis. God, give me wisdom. There's all kinds of non-material things that we need. Father, would you today give me all the physical things I need, but God, the non-material, the non-physical things, that's what I need as well. Think fruit of the Spirit, peace, joy, self-control, goodness, kindness, etc., those things. That's the second thing. The third thing that this bread represents is when in Jesus' day, the way armies worked is that I, as a captain, would go out and conquer people, and I would say, you are now in my army. And I would feed you, and you would do what I tell you to do. So it's like I'm going to give you your sack lunch, but on the sack lunch is written your instructions for today. If you take the lunch, I'm expecting you to do what I tell you to do. So it's the daily instructions that he gives us. Give us this day our daily bread. As I receive these things from you, I also commit to you that I will be your follower. I recommit myself to be a follower of Christ today. The fourth thing is perhaps the most obvious beyond the physical bread, and that is, God, would you give me the manna for today? The manna that I need. Just like God provided manna in the wilderness each day, God wants to give us spiritual truths on a daily basis that we can only get by getting them from his word. Don't worry, I've got a whole bunch of Bible stuff on my phone, so I don't have a physical Bible up here, but it's here. So as I spend time in his word on a daily basis, he will give me that which I need. Except here's what I found. When he gives me a truth that I need, chances are very good that he's going to bring someone else along in my path today. They need that too. So I get to share what he's given me. I get to give to them as well. So physical need, non-material things, following his instructions, and then the manna from his word. But most of all, I think this line says, reminds me, that each day, it's not what I need, it's who I need. Jesus said in John chapter 6 that he was the bread that came down out of heaven. And when we pray this line, give us this day our daily bread, really the best way to pray this is, Father, today what I need more than anything else is I need more of your Son. I'm not yet conformed to his image to the degree that you want me to be or that I want to be. What I need is more of Jesus in me. It's Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This line points us to the reality that what you and I, what your spouse, what your child, what your parent, your grandparent needs, what your neighbors need more than anything else is Jesus. Does this group ever say amen? Let me try it one more time. This line points us to the fact that what we need more than anything else is more of Jesus. Amen. That's true. Thank you for receiving what I've said here. I'm going to pray. Wade will come back and lead us in a time of worship. If you'd like more stuff from this book, then they're available back there. Father, I want to ask in Jesus' name that you would go far beyond words that I have said. Go far beyond anything that we've learned before. And Father, would you take us to that point where it's not just a preacher that told us we should pray like this. I have no authority to tell anybody how to pray. But I do have a responsibility to remind believers of what you said. So God, I pray that as people have heard, would you go deep into us? Poke the buttons, dial the knobs in such a way that things change so that we would pray more in alignment with how you've taught us to pray. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, we want to finish our time today with a time of worship. If you'd like to stand with us, we want to sing this song with you and have the Lord remind us who we are in Him. When I lose my way and I forget my name, remind me who I am. In the mirror, all I see is who I don't want to be. Remind me who I am. In the loneliest places, when I can't remember what grace is, tell me once again who I am. Tell me lest I forget who I am to you, that I belong to you, to you. When the heart is like a stone and I'm running far from home, remind me who I am. Can't receive your love, afraid I'll never be enough. Remind me who I am. If I'm your beloved, would you help me believe it? Tell me once again who I am to you, who I am to you. Tell lest I forget who I am to you, that I belong to you, to you. I'm the one you love. I'm the one you love. That will be. I'm the one you love. Tell me once again who I am to you, who I am to you. Tell me lest I forget who I am to you, that I belong to you. Tell me once again. Tell me lest I forget who I am to you, that I belong to you, to you, to you. Hey, thank you, Jesus, for reminding us who we are in you. Thank you for teaching us everything, for teaching us how to pray, God. We love you, Jesus, and we're just so grateful for everything that you've done for us. Thank you for your love and your goodness to us, your grace, your patience with us. Lord, we can never hope to earn it, but we're grateful that you give it so freely. And so we praise you today and forever. We love you, Jesus, and we pray these things in your name. Amen.
Grateful for the invitation from Rob to come and share this morning, and he's going to be gone for 2 weeks, and so he asked that I would be here today as well as next week, and next week we'll come back and we'll do another message on prayer, so I invite you to come on back next week as well. But this time, there's a regular benediction that Rob prays, but he said just pray however you feel led, and so I think it'd be appropriate if I just did a benediction from the Lord's Prayer. So now may we leave living as children of our Father who is in heaven. May we live this week in a manner that we would team with him to see his name honored, to see his kingdom rule come in fuller measure, and to see his will accomplished here on earth like it is in heaven. And may we depend upon his provision, his pardon, his direction, and his protection. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Before we wrap up today, it's Cheryl's birthday today, and we want to embarrass her a little bit because she's years old. And so we want to sing happy birthday. Let's sing.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Amen. Thank you for coming. We'll see you next week. Happy birthday, Cheryl.